Okay, today we're discussing Pesach. Pesach, lots of things to talk about. Pesach. So number one is, what does Pesach mean? Beautiful ideas. We all know Pesach means?
Passover.
Passover. What do you mean Passover? Passover what?
The houses.
The houses. Hashem passed over houses. Asher Pasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem passed over the Jewish houses on the way to, for the firstborn plague of the firstborn. So Hashem passed over. That's where the word Passover comes from. However, there's another opinion. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel. He says, Passover, the Pesach does not mean Passover. Pesach means Chas. Hashem had concern for the Jewish people. Out of compassion. He had compassion for the Jewish people. There's two different opinions over here. What does Pesach mean? Literally, what does it mean? So one opinion is Pesach. The simplest explanation is Pesach. Skipped. Hashem skipped over the Jewish houses on his way to continue the 10th plague. But it wasn't Hashem who did the 10th plague. It was the Mashchit, it says.
Right.
He wouldn't allow the Mashchit to go into the Jewish houses. So Hashem passed over, literally passed over. Or Hashem had concern, compassion for the Jews. That's a beautiful idea of compassion. Pesach is the idea of compassion. Hashem had compassion for us.
What is the word for compassion?
Chas. Who chas al mamono shel Yisrael. He had compassion on the Jewish money. He had compassion for Jewish lives. He had compassion. So Pesach really is a festival of compassion. That's really what it means. That slaves go free, that's compassion on the slave. It's compassion for the downtrodden. It's compassion for those who are work for nothing. They're forced to work. They have no rights. It's compassion. Pesach is a festival of compassion. So it's very nice to call it Passover, but it's missing the point of compassion. Passover is because of compassion. Hashem passed over our houses because He had compassion to us. So the mitzvah of Pesach is in the words itself. The Ben Ish Chai says Pesach can be read as two words. Peh, mouth. Sach, which talks. Pesach. It's a mitzvah on Pesach to talk, you know. We Jews love to talk. But when it's a mitzvah to talk, suddenly we have nothing to say. So we have to make sure we have things to say which are relevant to the night. So we're going to talk about the Haggadah, going to talk about the stories, going to talk about the mitzvot of Pesach. So now we're going to give a little bit of intro of what is the mitzvah of Pesach. Pesach is Pesach. The mouth, the talks. It's a mitzvah to talk. You have to speak to your children on this day saying. What do you say? You have to say the story of Pesach. And you have to talk about what does it have to do with us today. So what does Pesach teach us? So number one is, never give up hope. Never give up hope. Here we are in Mitzrayim. How many years were they in Mitzrayim? 210 years in Mitzrayim. And the last few years they were terribly persecuted. Terrible persecution. And they could have just said, we give up. We give up over here. We're going to melt into the melting pot of Egypt. And it says 80% of the Jews gave up. 80% of the Jews gave up. 20%. Chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Chamushim comes from the word chomesh. One-fifth of the Jews came out of Mitzrayim. One-fifth of the Jews only came out of Mitzrayim. Same thing over here in America. There's a melting pot over here. If we're lucky, 20% of Jews will come out. If we're lucky. People don't realize that. How many Jews are already absorbed into American culture and gone and left? Left Judaism, intermarried, assimilated, gone.
Right.
If we're lucky, 20% will come out. So we have to be part of that 20%. We have to be part of that 20%.
So our ancestors are part of the 20%.
Yes.
Yeah,
our ancestors
obviously.
Got out. Obviously, otherwise we wouldn't be here today.
Be here.
Not only are they the part of 20%, they're part of maybe the 2% that survived Jewish history. We are Reshit HaPeleta. We are the Peleta. Peleta means the leftovers. We are the leftovers of the Jews. We're the survivors. All of us are survivors. People don't realize, all of us are survivors of all the exiles and persecutions of thousands of years. There should be at least 500 million Jews in the world. There should be at least 500 million Jews in the world. And the time of the Bar Kokhba, it was 10% of the Roman Empire was Jewish. 10% of the Roman Empire was Jewish. 10% of the world is 7 billion people now. Right? 10% of 7 billion, who's the mathematician over here? At least. 700 million should be Jews. Half a billion. More than 500 million should be Jews. We lost them. Where are they? So assimilation, persecution, Holocaust. We lost them. So the Romans killed more than half the Jews in the world. They killed, imagine, it was a percentage-wise more than the Holocaust. Romans. So they killed more than half the Jews in the world. And they destroyed us. But we're still here. The miracle is we're still here. It's a miracle. There's no other question. There's no other way to look at it. It's a miracle Hashem interferes in history. And that's number two. Number one is don't lose hope. Number two is Hashem interferes in history. Yetziat Mitzrayim is such a big critical part of our belief system. Every day you have to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim. Before we say the Shemona Esrei, what do we say? What's the bracha before the Shemona Esrei? Quickly. Baruch Ata Hashem, Gaal Israel. Blessed are you, Hashem, who is the redeemed Israel. You redeemed Israel. If you can redeem Israel, that's how we start our Shmona Esrei. Why? We have the belief that Hashem redeemed us and Hashem can redeem us. How do you start Shmona Esrei? Hashem, you're the redeemer in the past. Can you please redeem me now?
Right.
And one of the prayers in the Shmona Esrei is Baruch Ata Hashem, Goel Israel, the redeemer of Israel in the present. You redeemed us in the past, and you're going to redeem us in the present. We're seeing it today. It's a miracle today.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's a big miracle. It's a big miracle. People can't see the miracle. It's a miraculous thing that's happening today around us. We just don't see it. The Jews are going back to Israel. Bezra Hashem, all of us will end up in Israel, and Israel will be built up. You see, you go to Yerushalayim today, it's full of cranes. They're cranes building Israel right now as we speak. They're building and building, continuously building and building. So Bezra, we are seeing it. So number one is, don't give up hope. Atikva. Don't give up hope. Our hope is things will get better. We Jews are optimists. How do we know we're optimists? Rabbi Akiva, famous story, right? The three rabbis were at the destruction. They saw the destruction of the temple. Two of them are crying. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua are crying. And Rabbi Akiva is laughing. He said, Akiva, you're mad. Why are you laughing? They saw foxes coming out where the Holy of Holies were. Today we see foxes as well on two legs coming out of the Holy of Holies. We see it today as well. We should be crying. We're laughing. Why are we laughing? Rabbi Akiva says, we saw the destruction, now we can see the redemption. So the bad part of the prophecy is fulfilled. We can only look forward to the good part of the prophecy, Israel Hashem. So we, number one is optimism. Number two, we believe that Hashem is the boss of the world. He interferes in world history. He is the Redeemer. He is the Redeemer. Hashem wants to redeem. He can redeem a person in second. Yeshuat Hashem kecheref ayin. Like the blinking of an eye. Person's in trouble, all of a sudden, the trouble's over. It's amazing, like a blink of an eye. In a blink of an eye, Hashem can redeem a person. Sickness, suffering, persecution, in a blink of an eye, a person can be saved. Who knows what can happen? Amazing. So Hashem interferes in history. Blink of an eye. The Geula came like that. 1 minute they're slaves, the next minute Moshe Rabbeinu comes. It's amazing. See the Midrashim. How did Moshe Rabbeinu get into Paro's palace? Who let him into the palace? No, I'm saying, okay, so look at the story. Let's kill all the boys. And what happens? His own daughter
lets him into the palace.
It's wild. Think about it. Think about it. Hashem's sense of humor. You want to kill all the Jewish boys? Your own daughter will save the Jewish boy. And she's going to raise him in your palace. And he's going to be sitting on your lap. The Redeemer of Israel is going to be sitting on your lap. Imagine. Hard to imagine, right? It's very hard to imagine. Hashem is... You can't even working. Paro wants to kill the Jews, and he himself is going to be the vehicle to save the Jews. He's the vehicle to raise Moshe in his house. But think about how did Moshe get into Paro's palace as an adult to go and tell him, let the Jews go? He wasn't allowed into Paro's palace. How did he get into Paro's palace? A miracle. How come Paro didn't kill him straight away? It's a miracle. We don't realize the miracles. Every time Moshe goes to see Paro, he's taking his life into his own hands. Hashem says, don't worry. Boil Paro. You come with me to Paro. Nothing's going to happen to you. I guarantee nothing's going to happen to you. You'll see the power of Hashem. That here the guards have orders not to let him in, the Midrash says. And he gets in. And Paro kills the guards. We couldn't help it. We just didn't see him. We just walked in. We didn't see the guy walk in. He walked in. It's a miracle. We don't realize how many miracles were involved in this whole process.
They didn't see him.
I don't know. So it's a miracle. Miracles happen every second. And the Jews were free in Egypt. They were not slaves anymore. They were free after the first plague. Dam, no Jews go to work anymore. That's it. Jews go to work. Tzfardei, Akidim, Arov, all these different plagues to show Hashem's might and Hashem's total mastery. Pesach is about Hashem's total mastery. In the Haggadah, we don't mention one word, which is a critical word. Which word do we not mention in the Haggadah? Quickly.
Hashem.
Moshe. We don't mention Moshe. Why don't we mention Moshe? Because the whole night is devoted to Yud Kei Vav Kei. The four cups of wine. Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem's name. Four cups of wine correspond to Hashem's name. Hashem is the hero of Pesach. The hero of Pesach is Hashem. The Haggadah is all about Hashem saving us. Hashem did everything. It wasn't Moshe. It wasn't Aaron. It wasn't anyone else. It was purely Hashem. That's the night. It's the night of toasting Hashem. We are toasting with our cups. Hashem's glory. Hashem's might. And that's the bracha on the second cup. Baruch Ata Hashem. Gaal Israel. Again, the Redeemer of Israel. So Redeemer of Israel, redemption, redemption, redemption. A person's got to believe, we believe in Hashem. So the doctor says, this guy is finished. Don't care about what you say. It's all in God's hands. Everything is in God's hands. If Hashem wants the guy to live, I'll live. Hezekiah HaMelech. The prophet says, God says you're going to die. He says, you don't give the last word. I can still pray and change the decrees. Hashem is powerful enough. He re-examines the case. Hashem will re-examine and re-examine and re-examine until the end. No problem. So, number one is hope. Number two is Geula. We have to remember, Hashem is the one who has the final word in history. And everyone's laughing. All our enemies are laughing at us. Eventually, we're going to laugh at them. The Jews are compared to sand. It'll be like the dust of the earth, like the sand of the sea. What's that mean? So the Gemara says, they'll trample on us like people trample on the sand and the dust, but eventually we're going to cover them. Just like you bury someone under the sand and the dust, the Jews will bury the enemies. And we will bury them. We will outlive them. We've outlived them already. We've outlived the Egyptians are not here anymore. Not the real Egyptians.
The Greeks.
The Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. We're now in the vestiges of the Romans. This is the Western civilization. So, Bezrat Hashem, we're outliving them. Bezrat Hashem will outlive them. We even got to the moon. The Jews are in the moon. I don't know, we're crazy. It's gonna land this week. The rocket is gonna land on the moon. Bereshit is gonna land on the moon. Doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. The fourth country to go in the moon: America, Russia, China, and Israel. Yeah. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you? Doesn't make sense to me. It's amazing. It's amazing. Little tiny little country with a little tiny space rocket. Tiny.
Tiny is like
size of your fridge.
And it gets fired over all the time.
It's wild. Okay, so we have to remember that Hashem interferes. Hashem is great. And if Hashem would not have taken us out, we would have been assimilated into Egypt. That is the biggest threat against the Jews is freedom. Freedom! So as freedom, a person's got to be watch out with freedom. Why? Freedom is a double-edged sword. It's very good to be free. Why do you want to be free? You want to be free to serve Hashem. But if you want to be free to assimilate, that's also free. A person's also free. We can do whatever we want. That's our trouble today. We have too much freedom and we're wasting our lives away with freedom. Choosing the wrong choices. A person can make the wrong choices with freedom. It's like when a person grows up, moves out of the house, they're free. They can do whatever they want. So the choices they make have tremendous repercussions, not just for them, but also for their children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren down the road, if they're even going to have children. A lot of people choose not to have children. So that's the end of the line. That's it. I was just reading an article today. It says the other movements of Judaism don't even talk about procreation anymore. It's considered sexist to talk about having children.
Why?
Since men can't have children, so if you tell people you have to have children to procreate, to have continuity of Judaism, they don't talk about it. Because continuity, you need women to have continuity, and that's sexist. They don't talk about continuity. They don't talk about it anymore. We have to talk about continuity, because we have to worry about who's going to be the next generation. We have to need to talk about continuity. It's a women's thing. Women have to continue the population, otherwise there'll be no children. And that was the praise of the women. Takara tapuach or articha. Sham heblatcha yoratecha, right? Shir Hashirim. Sing of Song of Songs, David Shlomo Melech says, Takara tapuach or articha. Under the apple trees, the women seduced their husbands. The husbands didn't want to have children. The slaves in Egypt, imagine. The women kept Judaism alive. The righteous women of Israel. That's Nashim Tzidkaniyot. That's why the women never died in the desert. Imagine, 40 years, the women never died. Only the men died. The men had small emunah, the women had big emunah. The women had tremendous emunah. So today we need that emunah. To have children, you need emunah. You need faith in God to bring up a child, to have a child. How could I have a child? The person says, you know, how can I have a child? I can't pay the tuition. I can't pay the rent. I can't pay this. I got to pay that. How can I have a child? And the answer is, you need emunah. You need emunah to have a child. So the women had emunah. They had tremendous emunah. They had tremendous belief in God. And the men, unfortunately, well, but today it's no one has. We have to build up emunah. So, and that's number three. Number three is Pesach is the festival of emunah. Pesach is our festival of emunah. Build up emunah. Make God a reality in your life. Make God a reality in our lives. That yes, and the Ashkenazim have this custom of Kos Eliyahu. Sorry, it's not a Sephardic custom to have another cup for Eliyahu Navi. No. Unless we adopted it, you know, some Sephardim they adopt things from the culture around them, but it's not a Sephardic custom. I think that's where the Christians got Santa Claus from. And Eliyahu Navi comes into the house and drinks the wine. They got this also. This guy comes through the chimney, whatever. So these are stories. These are stories that it's a Jewish thing. It's a Jewish thing, that Ashkenazi thing. The Eliyahu Navi comes in. You leave a door open. Eliyahu Navi comes in, drinks
right.
the wine.
Right.
So it's a very interesting idea. But we believe Hashem. Hashem is the boss. Hashem can do whatever he wants. We have to have emunah. We have to build up emunah. Just like Hashem saved us in those days, Hashem can save us
today.
And he's saving us. You see it. Number four, what is Pesach about? So the answer is the Paschal Lamb. The Paschal Lamb. Pesach is Korban Pesach. It's called the Lamb, the Korban of Pesach. It was a lamb or it was a goat. Kid. Hadgadiah, the kid. The kid goat. The goat. So it could be a lamb or it could be a kid. It could be a baby goat or it could be a lamb. Under the age of one. Under the age of 1 year old, the baby, the kid or the goat. Kid or the sheep. The lamb could be under 1 year old. And what does that mean? And the answer is the Egyptians worshipped sheep. They worshipped sheep. It's very hard to imagine, worshipping a sheep. Worshipping a goat. That's devil worship. That's a goat worship. But you have to remember, the sign of the zodiac right now is the Aries, the ram.
Right.
They worshipped Aries, the ram. That was a sign. When their god is in the sky, that's when we kill him. We're going to kill your god. And that took a lot of guts. That's why it's called Shabbat HaGadol. Next Shabbat it's called Shabbat HaGadol. Why? It was a Shabbat. They had to take the God of the Egyptians. And the Egyptians say, what are you doing with it? What are you doing without God?
We're going to
eat him.
We're going to kill it.
We're going to kill it and eat him for dessert.
Eat it, right.
We're not just going to eat your God. We're going to eat your dessert for dessert. He's not going to be our main course. He's going to be dessert. Your God is going to be our dessert. Oh boy.
That was the ultimate test of emunah for them.
Yes, exactly.
If they would believe in their God and the Egyptians' God, they'd be too afraid to do anything. And
yeah.
If they believe in Hashem, then they wouldn't care what would happen.
Yeah, but only 20% passed. 20% of Jews passed. So it's Mesirat Nefesh. They're ready to die for it. They're ready to die. That's Mesirat Nefesh. So Pesach has to tell us Mesirat Nefesh. Imagine. Mesirat Nefesh means you cannot do anything without giving. What are you giving? You don't get anywhere without investing. You can't earn your time unless you invest. You have to invest. You can't raise children without investing. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Hazorim bedima birina yisoru. Those who sow with tears, invest with tears. The investment of Klal Yisrael was, we're going to take the God of the Egyptians. If they kill us, they kill us. We're doing it for Hashem. So we're ready to lay down our lives. So you cannot have freedom without sacrifice. So that's the sacrifice. Sacrifice is not only the Korban Pesach, it's not just sacrifice of the Pesach, it's sacrifice of ourselves. The Jews are willing to sacrifice themselves. How many Jews gave their lives not to convert? We gave our lives, we gave our blood. People were burnt at the stake. It's hard to imagine. The last auto de fe was in, guess, Mexico. What was the name of the person, you remember? Very, very famous case in Mexico. He was, can't remember the name, but a very famous Sephardic name. Him and his family were killed, burnt at the stake. In Mexico, 1852, I think it was. The last auto de fe was in Mexico. They had their own... So Inquisition. Imagine, the Inquisition got to Spain, Portugal, Mexico, even to India. There were Jews that moved to India. The Jews were coaching. The white Jews were coaching. The black Jews were coaching. The white Jews were coaching. People don't realize that. The white Jews were coaching will be there for thousand years. And the white Jews came from Portugal. They ran away from Portugal in 1492 or 1500s, and they moved to India, and there they had another Inquisition, the Portuguese. So the Inquisitions everywhere. Jews gave their lives, burnt at this command. We burnt at this alive, burnt alive at the stake. How many Jews? And they said Shema, and they died. They gave their lives. That's Mesirat Nefesh. That's Pesach. When we do Korban Pesach, we have to remember the Holocaust. We have to remember all these Korban Pesach. We're willing to sacrifice ourselves for God. Number five, people don't realize, what is our July 4th? What is our national holiday? Pesach!
Not Pesach!
Pesach.
We became a nation.
Pesach is when we became a nation with no land. It's amazing. We became it's unheard of. You don't become a nation without
no
a country.
Land, right?
Where's your country? We're going to our country. What do you mean you're going to your country? Are you a nation? We're a nation. We're Bnei Israel. We are the children of Israel. We are the children of Yaakov Avinu. We're a nation. We're our own nation. Where's your country? We don't have a country yet. We'll get a country. Hashem says we're going to get a country. Don't worry. We'll get a country. Imagine. Amazing. Wild, wild. Belief. It's all based on belief. Can you imagine leaving your home? Where are you going? We're going to the desert. Where are you going to live? Don't know. Where's your house? Don't know. What are you going to eat? Don't know. I think all my capital, you know, all your animals. Yeah, what are they going to eat? Don't know.
But we're going.
Who's going to feed you? Don't know.
Hashem.
I don't know. Hashem. That's Emunah. Emunah is going into the desert. Lechtech achray b'midbar. Be'eretz lo zeruah. Hashem says, I remember your zachati la chesed neorach. I remember the kindness you did to me in your youth. You went after me in a desert with no food. Hashem says, this is the greatness of Klal Yisrael. The Emunah of Klal Yisrael is, you left your houses, convention, you left your houses and you left your goods, you left your all your property, and you left and you went into the desert. You left in the land which is not even, there's nothing to eat. Imagine, and you have manna fall from heaven. Wild! This is wild. This is wild stuff. This is stuff that kept us going for thousands of years through the exile, that Hashem sustains us. We see this today. Hashem sustains us. Without Hashem, we wouldn't be here today. So it's our national holiday. We became Jews. It's amazing how they took what we have. We don't really think about it. A barbecue. July 4th barbecue, right? Where do you think it came from? Pesach. Pesach was the barbecue of the Jewish people. People don't realize it. The first burger in history was Pesach. What do you eat it with? Lettuce. Maror. And a sandwich. A wrap. The first wrap in history, it says.
The first wrap. The first
Korech. Korech means a wrap. It's only a wrap. So in those days, the matzah was soft, not hard like today, like cracker. It was a soft matzah. You wrapped it around. You wrapped the...
It was like the Yemenite.
Exactly, the Yemenite matzah. So you wrap it around. It's called a wrap. Korech. Korech doesn't mean a sandwich. Korech means a wrap. Korech. So we have to realize that's how we celebrate our freedom. How do you celebrate freedom? Take the sheep and you roast it. You have a sali. You have a roast mutton. Roast mutton. So that's we have to remember this is what Pesach stands for. Pesach. Pesach is the Korban. Pesach is what God did to us. Hashem had mercy on us. Hashem passed over our houses. It represents the miracle of Hashem. Today we have, instead of a Korban Pesach, we don't have a Korban Pesach today. In fact, you're not allowed to say this meat is for Pesach.
No, you can't point to it.
You're not allowed to point to it. You're not allowed to say it. When you buy meat, you can't say this meat for Pesach. Even a store that advertises shouldn't advertise. This is Pesach, this is a meat for Pesach. Because people get confused and say, this is the Korban Pesach. No, it's not.
No. It's kosher for Pesach.
You can say it's kosher for Pesach. You can't say this is dedicated for Pesach. Otherwise, it's like
a
Korban
Pesach. Kosher for Pesach.
So Pesach represents Hashem's miracle that he did for us. And that's why today we have a Zeruah. What's Zeruah? Zeruah Netzuyah. God's outstretched arm. You know, there's a saying in Canada about the Canadian Mounties. You know, the police are called Mounties because they ride horses, whatever they used to ride. Royal Canadian Mounted Police, right. RCMP. We always get our man. That's their motto. We always get our man. We always catch the guy. We always get our man. Hashem has a long arm.
Right.
It's called the long arm of the law. But so Hashem has a long arm. Zeruah Netzuyah. This is the long arm of Hashem. Hashem is powerful. He can get anyone he wants. There's a famous story the Gemara says about Titus. You remember Titus? Titus was the one who destroyed the second temple. And he goes back to Rome. He takes him out. He takes all the gold. He takes all the minerai, the shulchan, whatever he can get from the temple. He takes it back on the sea in his boat. And there's a big storm. There's a big storm on the way, the Gemara says. And Titus stands up and he says, Hashem, I see your power is only in the water. You only have power in the water. Because Pharaoh died in the sea. And Sisera died in the... His chariots were stuck in the water. And now you're going to kill me in the water. You only have power in the water. You don't have water on the land. You don't have power in the land. So the Gemara says, Hashem says, don't worry. He says, I have a little insect. A little insect will kill you. I don't have... I'll show you my power through the minute. Not through the big things. So today we see God's power is in the small, not in the big. A little insect can kill a person. A little microbe, a little germ, a little cancer cell can kill a person. So we see Hashem says, you don't think I have power? I'll show you. My power is through small, not through big things. I don't want to do big miracles to kill you. Something's going to eat up your brain from inside. That's how he died. His brain was eaten up from inside. So it's very important to see Hashem's power. So that's Pesach. Pesach is seeing Hashem's power. Zeruah Netzuyah is seeing Hashem's outstretched arm, the arm of Hashem. Number two, matzah. What does matzah represent? Matzah is a dichotomy. Well, let's talk about maror first. Maror is bitterness. It's obvious. So Pesach is obviously... Quickly. Pesach is... Hashem's miracles. Hashem took us out with miracles. Zeruah Netzuyah is outstretched arm. Matzah is... We'll talk about... But maror is bitterness. Maror is what the Egyptians did to us. So what Hashem did to us, that's Pesach. What the Egyptians did to us is maror. What did the Egyptians do to us? Bitterness. Bitterness. Their lives were bitter. Terrible. Can you imagine? Think about it. To live under total persecution. You're a slave. What time do I wake up? Whenever they wake you up, they drag you out of bed, they smash you, they hit you, whack you, do whatever they want. Now go work. You got to fulfill this quota. You have a quota. If you don't fulfill the quota, more lashings and whip. Well, they made a whole system, just like the Nazis. They modeled it on Egypt. Egypt was the first concentration camps. We have to realize that. The first concentration camps in history was Egypt. But they made us work, and they people died. How many people died building pyramids? How many people died building their cities? Pitom and Ramses. How many people died? Doesn't say how many slaves. Lives of slaves were zero until eventually they killed our children. That's bitterness. That's bitter. That's maror. Maror is bitterness. That's Egyptians. What they did to us is, and the longer you leave the lettuce in the ground, the more bitter it gets. The more you live in a country, the bitterer the exile gets. The longer you live in a place, the bitterer the exile gets. The more they lived in Egypt, the more bitter it got. The more the Egyptians resented them and hated them and cursed them and abused them. Because the longer you live in a country, they hate you more. It's amazing. So that's maror. Matzah is amazing. Because matzah has two symbolisms. Okay, so Pesach symbolizes miracles. Maror symbolizes bitterness. And matzah symbolizes both. Matzah symbolizes lechem oni, the bread of affliction. We were slaves. What did the slaves eat?
Nothing.
Matzah. What do they give the slaves to eat? Matzah.
Yum, yum.
You know, there's a famous rabbi, Rabbi Ibn Ezra. Abraham Ibn Ezra was a rabbi in Spain, and he was a very great man, very, very great man. He wrote a commentary on the whole Torah. And he's also a philosopher, musician, poet, amazing poet. And it says, he said about himself, he says his luck is very bad. Everything he turned his hand to, this disaster. All his business deals fell through, everything, his luck was terrible. He said, if I became an undertaker, my luck is so bad, people would stop dying. That's how bad his luck was. I wish he became an undertaker. People would stop dying. Imagine, his luck was so bad. So he said, this is a legend. The legend is he went to India and they put him in jail. His luck was so bad, they put him in jail in India. And what did they feed him?
Matzah.
Chapatis. You know what chapatis are? It's like an Indian flatbread.
Basically like matzah.
He says, now I know why the Egyptians fed them matzah. Because this thing does not leave your system. And it makes you feel full all the time. It doesn't leave your system, and that's why they feed slaves. So a little bit of matzah lasts a long time, just stays inside your stomach. So that's why they made them eat matzah. It's lechem oni, the bread of affliction. It's the bread of affliction. It causes GI problems. Bread of affliction. It's a bread of affliction. Anyway, so that's number one. On the other hand, what's the other reason for eating matzah?
Freedom.
Why? It says because they didn't have time. When the freedom came, can you imagine? When the freedom came, it came so quickly, they had no time to bake their bread. Hard to imagine, right? Think about it. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, you have to go take on the 14th night, slaughter the korban in the day, and eat it at 49th. So you're going to roast it, you're going to eat it on the 15th of the night. He did, that's it. They didn't have time. They didn't realize they're going to leave Egypt by the morning. They had no time to prepare the bread. They're busy packing.
They're going to leave at midnight.
They didn't know.
They had no idea.
They had no idea they're going to be free so fast. It's like, they didn't have time to, imagine, think about it. We eat matzah because two reasons. Number one is, it's a symbol of lechem oni, bread of affliction. On the other side, it's a symbol of freedom. Two. So matzah has duality.
Right.
Pesach is miracles, freedom. Maror is bitterness, slavery. Matzah has both. So matzah is in the middle, it's a balance. Sometimes it hints to slavery, and sometimes it hints to freedom. Matzah has amazing, matzah is unique. Matzah has both contexts. You know, it's interesting. Today we have no Korban Pesach, right? No Korban Pesach. The maror today is only from the rabbis, not from the Torah. Why? Because it says, Al matzot marim yocheluhu. You eat the Korban Pesach only with the maror. When there's no Korban Pesach, there's no maror. So the symbol of maror is not there from the Torah. So what symbol do we have left from the Torah? Matzah. Matzah symbolizes both. Freedom and bitterness and trouble. Okay. Very nice. Is that nice? Okay. I think it's nice. Okay, haroset. What is haroset? Haroset is? Cement.
They
cement.
Grew, they glue,
the cement to make the bricks.
Right.
The bricks. They made them some mixture of the mud, make bricks. Imagine. So my question is what? Why is the mixture of making these bricks? Why is it sweet? Why is charoset sweet? It should be very bitter.
We can eat it.
So the charoset is a mixture. So Tosfot, there's an interesting Tosfot in Pesachim. Tosfot says all the ingredients come from verses in Shir HaShirim.
Okay.
All the verses come from Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs. If you look through Song of Songs, it mentions different kinds of fruits. So all the fruits mentioned in Song of Songs we use in our charoset.
Okay.
So it says Takara Tapuach Oratia, it's got to have apples in it because it says
Takara. Right,
and it says you also have egozim. It says egozim, walnuts, and all sorts of things. Mention all the different kinds of fruits mentioned in Shir HaShirim, that's the ones we put in there. Have something else. Put something else. You're allergic to all nuts?
Yeah. Apples and
wine. Apples. Apples and wine. Whatever you can do. And dates.
Oh, dates.
Yeah.
So obviously, if you're allergic, you don't have to have this. This is not a mitzvah. Charos is not a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah from the rabbis. It's a mitzvah from the rabbis. No bracha. There's another question. Why is there no bracha and charos? It's a good question for your seder table. If you have someone who thinks they're knowledgeable, ask them.
Okay.
This way they'll say, I'm not knowledgeable. Because there's no real answer to it. Why is there no bracha on charoset? The rabbi said to make charoset and put it on the table and dip your maror in the charoset. But there's no bracha on it. Why not? So cement, charoset. Why is it sweet? And the answer is even labor should be sweet. What you do, your job, in your eyes should be sweet. A person should choose a job they'd like to do. Anyway, it's an interesting symbolism. The egg. The egg on the table, the hard-boiled egg, is a reminder of the Korban Hagiga. What's a Hagiga?
Yeah.
Hagiga is the main course item.
Okay.
In other words, when they went to the temple, they brought the Korban Pesach, and they also brought on Pesach itself, they brought a Korban Hagiga, a sacrifice to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm. It's holy. And you bring it to the temple, they slaughter it, they put the fat on the altar, and they give you back the meat, and you eat it at your table, your seder table. That's the main course item, is Hagiga. We have no Hagiga today, so it's represented by the hard-boiled egg. Represents another korban. So you have two korbanot. Korban Hagigah and Korban Pesach. So Pesach is, we said, the dessert. And that's why it took like 50 people to eat one korban. Because they only get one slice. Each person got one slice. I don't know, 40 people, 30 people. I don't know how many people it takes to eat a whole lamb. Imagine. So that's why they shared it. They had a whole group of people. So to make Pesach, it's not just one family. They get all the families together. A group. Why? Because they had to finish it. So it was a good way to getting unity.
Right.
You have to make unity. You want to be part of my group? It will cost you $1 each. So $1 each, you get a little piece of lamb at the group. We'll roast it together. We'll have it together. We'll share it. We'll have a korban. Can we have our own seder together? It's going to be a big seder. Amazing. So just have the lamb, to share the lamb. It's going to be a big seder. So you have groups and groups of people going with the lambs. So charoset, we talked about the egg. It symbolizes the Jewish people. How do eggs symbolize Jews? Because the more you boil them, the harder they get.
Right.
As the Jews, the more they boil us, the tougher we got. We got tougher and tougher. People don't realize we're the toughest of the toughest. The survivors are the toughest of the toughest. We are the toughest of the toughest. We're the children of survivors. Generations running around from country to country, and we saw everything. So we are the toughest of the toughest. Amazing, think of it. That 3 years after the Holocaust, these guys, the Holocaust survivors, get up and fight. We don't hear about such a thing. Where did it come from? Amazing. So that is the egg represents. The egg also represents life, because the egg, hatched egg, is the source of life. That we are, Hashem gave us an egg, in terms of recreation. Recreate us. Then we come to Zeruah, which is on the table. Zeruah is the outstretched arm. He said, remember all the miracles. And the Karpas. The Ben Ishchai says a beautiful idea. Karpas stands for two words. Karpas. Ketonet pasim. We dip the karpas into salt water. So it symbolizes the dipping. The brothers dipped Yosef's coat into blood. Karpas. Ketonet pasim. Coat of Yosef. And that caused the exile. So right at the beginning of the study, we have to remember, what caused the exile of the Jews in Egypt?
The brothers.
Brothers hating each other. Brothers selling each other. Imagine, hard to imagine that caused exile. If you want to reverse the exile, brothers have to get along. When brothers get along, the exile ends. Who were the brothers that got along? Moshe and Aaron and Miriam. They got along. Finally, you find siblings that get along. Baruch Hashem, you know, that's the Geula. Geula is when the siblings get along, that's Geula. When siblings don't get along, destruction. It's terrible. So if you have siblings, you have to get along with them. The person's going to know they've got to get along with their siblings, right? You have to get along with your sister, you have to get along with your husband. Right? So, okay, so that's karpas. We have to get along with each other. That causes redemption. And another reason is because we want to make sure that the kids ask questions. So we do things, odd things on Pesach. So we dip the thing in the Pesach, we go wash hands. Wash your hands. Daddy, why are you washing hands? I wanted you to ask questions. That's why I'm washing my hands. The whole purpose of doing all these things out of order is to make the kids ask questions. So sometimes the kids don't ask questions. They're so used to it, they don't ask questions anymore. So you have to do something strange to make them ask questions. I know my father-in-law had a weird custom, of taking the seder plate and putting it over people's heads. You ever seen that? That's a Moroccan custom.
Yeah.
You seen that?
Yes, I have.
You pick up the whole seder plate, and it's massive. And you say, hey, wait, one second. Whoa, what are you doing? You're putting it over my head. I said, oh, you want to hit me with it? So, no, I want you to ask questions. That's the reason why they do it, to make people ask questions. Okay. So now I've got a beautiful Dvar Torah in the next 10 minutes. This is a Dvar Torah from Rabbi Jacobowitz. Rabbi Emmanuel Jacobowitz, Alav HaShalom. He used to be the chief rabbi of England. He says this beautiful, beautiful Dvar Torah. If there's one thing, I want you to remember this Dvar Torah for your Seder. So Josh, just try and remember this beautiful Dvar Torah. He says we do 14 things in the Seder. And we sing the song, Kadesh, Urchat, Karpaz, Yachatz. So we sing that 14 things. He says this is the 14 parts to life. Life has 14 parts to it. So really? So it's the order of the Seder. It's not just the order of a Seder. It's the Seder of life. It's the order of life, he says. Okay. Let's try and figure out what's the order of life. Help me, okay? So the first thing is Kadesh. Okay. What is Kadesh?
Kadesh is holy.
Kiddush. He says, before you have a child, the parents have to sanctify themselves.
Parents have to what?
Sanctify themselves. In other words, the person's got to know. When they engage in an act of creating someone, that act is the holiest act there is. People don't realize that. Today's society is totally opposite. In Jewish life, the act of procreation is the holiest act a person can be involved in. Husband and wife, that's why kiddushin, they're going to be sanctified through marriage. And this is a sanctification act, which is to bring a child in the world. Kadesh. So first thing you have to know when you bring a child in the world is the thoughts of a person and thoughts of the wife have to be holy. And there's a book called Igeret HaRamban, called Igeret HaKodesh. Igeret HaKodesh, Ramban writes about the thoughts of a man and woman when they're having children. So that's number one, Kadesh. Number two is when the child is born, Urchatz. Ben Ish Chai says, what do you do when your child is born? Wash his hands. Crazy. Imagine. Even the baby's hands in the morning. Wash the baby's hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Imagine. Take a little baby from birth. He gets older, even when he's a little baby, you're washing his hands in the morning. Kadesh Urchatz. Clean your hands. Why not? You can wash his hands. You give him a bath. Can you wash his hands? You wash your hands every morning. So that's why, because the baby's eating things, putting things in his mouth, his hands should be clean. Urchatz. But also the symbolism of Urchatz is your hands should be pure. A person's hands should not touch things which don't belong to them. And that includes women, men, includes other things as well. Not just money, not robbery. A person's hands should be clean. Urchatz. A person's hands should be clean. Kadesh Urchatz, Karpas. So what is Karpas? So number one is holiness in thoughts before having a baby. Number two is the baby's born, purify yourselves. Raise the baby with washing, with cleanliness. Number three is karpas. The baby says, Daddy, where did everything come from? Mommy, where did everything come from? Karpas. Baruch atah Hashem, lekerem melech alam borei peri hadama. Hashem created everything. Hashem created everything in this world. That's number three. We teach our children. God is the master. God is the boss. God created everything. A karpas. Yachatz. You break the middle matzah. So look at the three matzot. Beautiful. The top matzah is a man. The bottom one is the woman. And the middle matzah is the child. So now you're going to break the middle matzah. Why? Because now the majority is now going to school. The child is now going away. He's going to school. A small part of the child stays home. And the big part of the child is in school. So yachatz, the child is going to school. Kadesh Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, Magid. The child goes to school. He comes back. Daddy, I learned this. Mommy, I learned this. He's Magid. He tells you what he's learning in school. It's very good. It's beautiful, right? Comes back, Magid. Magid comes back and tells you, and you have to encourage him. Some parents say, enough, don't tell me, I don't want to hear, don't tell me, shut up. He's talking too much. Don't give me lectures, I heard this already, I know already, don't tell me. But it's very important for the parents to say, here, I want to hear what you say. Yeah, give me your Dvar Torah, what do you learn in school? Teach me, teach me. It's very important for the kid to know that they're appreciated.
Right.
Otherwise the kid says, oh, my father doesn't appreciate my learning, I don't want to teach him. I'm not going to teach him. I'm not going to learn it. I don't care about it anymore. He doesn't appreciate it. I don't want to learn about it. I don't appreciate it either. So it's very important to appreciate the child's learning. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, Magid, Rochsa. Now the child has to learn to wash his own hands. Because not everything you hear in school is good. The child's got to know how to differentiate in his life between the good and the bad and to be able to wash off bad influences. Because the biggest influence on children is peer pressure. You go to school and you hear this and you learn this. I'll tell you, some of the things you learn in school is terrible. So child's got to learn how to wash themselves from all these bad influences. They've got to learn how to wash themselves from bad influences. Karpas yachatz, magid, rochsa, motzi matzah. What's motzi? Motzi now is the child goes to work. He goes to work, he's motzi, he has to go and go work hard. You know, it's interesting, when a person goes to work, then they realize and they appreciate what their parents start appreciating. How much how hard is a living? How hard my parents work for me? Motzi, he's got to go to work, motzi, and he's got to say, motzi, the bracha of hamotzi is the hardest bracha to say. What do we say? Baruch atah Hashem, nekeinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Hashem takes out the bread from the ground, does he? Hashem takes out bread from the ground? You ever seen bread coming out from the ground? We do the work. And that's why that bracha is so powerful. We do all the work and we say that Hashem did it. Isn't that amazing? We do all the work and we say Hashem does it. So a person goes to work, but he's got to remember, I go to work, but Hashem made it happen. Hashem is the one who blessed me with the ability to go to work and make money, and everything I have came from God. And that's why the bracha of Hamotzi covers all the other blessings. Hamotzi is so powerful. Why is it so powerful? Because it's the hardest bracha to say. That I didn't do the work, I didn't bring the bread, Hashem made the bread. How many forms of work are involved in making bread? Out of 39 forms of work on Shabbat, a third is Shabbat, is breaking bread. A third of the malachot of Shabbat are to make bread. It's so complicated to make bread. So we say Hashem made the bread. Motzi, hamotzi, and then matzah. What's matzah? Matzah is humility. Hashem made the bread, but I can remember it was Hashem, it wasn't me.
Why is it humility?
Because it's flat. It doesn't swell. Swelling is gava, is pride. Humility is flat. So that's what we have to do on Pesach. So that's the job of Pesach. On Pesach, we have to try to remove gava. We have to try and move pride from our hearts. The pride is the swelling up. Motzi, matzah, maror. Now we come to maror. Maror is, now what happens, the child's growing up. He went to work, he's working now, he's busy. Matzah, maror, maybe his father passed away, his grandfather passed away. He sees bitterness in his life. What do you do? Life is not just happiness. Life is also bitter things. What do you do? How do you cope with the maror? Korech. Person's got to know life is a sandwich. A sandwich of good, bad. There's maror in the sandwich. There's charoset in the sandwich. Sweet things as well. So life is a package deal. Life is a package deal. It's a korech. It's a sandwich. It's a sandwich of good, sandwich of bad, sandwich of sweet, sandwich of bitter. We've got to take the bitter and the smooth. Korech. Shulchan Orech. So finally, Shulchan Orech, Shulchan Orech, he's sitting around the table, and his children around the table. Beautiful verse, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, he says, Eshtecha ki gefen poriya, he says, your wife will be like a vine tree, the beautiful fruits. Banecha, saviv l'shulchanecha, your children are going to be sitting around your table. Right? How's it? Eshtecha gefen poriya, b'yakate b'techa. Banecha keshtele zitim, they'll be like olive trees around your table. Planted olive trees around your table. Imagine. So the best part of my life was seeing my little children around my table. Oh, so beautiful. See your own children sitting around your table. And your grandchildren. Oh, it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. Nothing better than that. There's no blessing better than that. Blessing of seeing your own children, your wife, your children, and your family, and your children, your grandchildren, best around the table as well. There's no blessing bigger than that, let me say. So that's why, Barech! Person says, Berkat HaMazon. When they, after they see that, they can say, thank you Hashem for this beautiful family you gave me. Thank you Hashem for the beautiful life you gave me. So with all the bitterness, there's bitterness in life, yes. It's a sandwich, it's a package deal. But we have to make it work. A person's got to make it work. And how do we make it work? Through seeing our children, our grandchildren. Barech. Shulchan Orech now. Shulchan Orech. Tzafun. when the children are sitting around your table, Safun. What's Safun? Safun is all the things I learned when I was a kid are hidden inside me. Uh-huh. Now I'm going to take out the Afikoman. What's hidden inside me is going to come out. When a person has children, you got to sit with them and go homework. I did this 30 years ago. I learned this math 20 years ago. I learned this science 20 years ago. And I got to sit with my parents, my children. And whatever I learned, which is hidden inside me, is going to come out. That's the Afikoman. Now that you have your own family, you got to remember what you learned and reveal what you learned. That's the Safun. What's hidden inside you comes out. And then Birkat Hamazon, thank God, I have everything now. I said Birkat Hamazon. Halel. Halel is grandchildren. So Birkat Hamazon is on your children. Halel is on your grandchildren. And Nirtza is the sign on one's epitaph. Nirtza. Hashem says, I like this guy. I like this person. They did right. And you know, when you read the Book of Kings, it says about the king, he did bad in the eyes of God, he did good in the eyes of God. That's the Book of Kings. Every king has the stamp. We want Nirtza. We want Hashem to say a good housekeeping seal of approval. This person approved. When Hashem stamped, that's Nirtza. Nirtza means Hashem says, I approve of this person's seder of his life. So Bezrat Hashem, all of us, Hashem will say about us, Nirtza.